Hello, my name is Reuven. I'm here with Christian, and we both work at Consensus, and we want to give you an update on Uport. Usually I start this talks telling about identity in general and how important it is, but I think for this crowd, I skip that part. Obviously, identity in all the kind of forms, like for people, for tools, for everything, it's super important. Today, I want to focus on the challenges I think the community here is dealing with mostly. Obviously, key management, we've spoken about user experience for the average Joe, mobile, and I think we had already in the last 3 days quite some interesting projects with MetaMask, with Mist and others, Lightlines. I think there's a lot of things happening, and I think we have something which is a little bit different and very complementary to the things which already people are working on. So it's pretty exciting. Identity and data ownership is obviously a huge topic. We will touch on this to a certain extent, but we'll not completely cover this because 10 minutes is a bit short for some of the stuff. So I want to go first to explain a little bit about the design principles from Uport. For us, the core thing is we believe self-sovereign identity is the solution we need to achieve. It's really important that it's easy to use. So we spend a lot of time on thinking about usability. And ultimately, if you want to do anything in the digital world, reputation and trust is really important. So we spend a lot of time thinking about attestations and how we build a platform which can establish this trust. So the three main elements is how do we recover keys? What's an easy way to do this without relying on a company or someone else to do this? And we have some interesting ideas on this. We need a persistent identifier. So I think that's something, at the moment people use public keys, that's kind of your identifier and that's what people use. But what happens if you use your key or it gets compromised and then you start from scratch? So I think we have now given to Piper our keys, and let's see what happens if things get lost. So I think it's really important that we find a way, and I think we found at least a good idea how we can tackle this problem. And attestations and attributes is a key element to this. So once you have an identifier, you can now claim certain attributes and go and get attestations from institutions, from, I don't know, whether it's a bank, whether it's an employer, your landlord, whatever it is. And over time, you build, connected to your identity, more and more elements, which you can then share selectively to the relevant parties, and you build up a really strong reputation and therefore the trust you need to interact with digital services. And Christian will now tell you how we solved it.
Exactly. So the way we deal with key management first is that, you know, in order to interact with Ethereum, you need to have a system for managing keys. So normally what this has been is you have a key maybe encrypted in a file, and then you need to make sure you don't lose that file, or maybe you have a 12-word seed or mnemonic, then you need to write it down, but you need to write it down securely, etc. So we're taking a slightly different view. So mobile devices today, especially those with secure enclaves, can provide a very safe environment for a private key. So what we're doing is we have a private key, it's in the secure enclave, and it's never supposed to leave the device. So in order for this, you have a problem. What happens if you lose your device? The idea there is to have a key recovery system where you can tell your friends or other delegates that they can go in and actually have authority to restore your identity if you need to. And so in order to do this, we use a what we call a proxy contract as your core identity construct. So the address of the proxy contract is your identifier. Whenever you want to interact with an application contract, what you do is you send a transaction from your phone, you sign it with your key, but you send it through a controller contract, through the proxy contract, and to the application. The application uses the message.sender construct in Solidity, and it sees the proxy contract address as the sender. So what this means is that we can extract the access control logic in a controller contract that is accessed by the device key, but it also has a multi-sig recovery feature. So this allows you to, if you lose your phone, you get a new phone, you can regenerate a key, but your recovery friends can recover you. So that's the background, and now we're going to show a demo.
If it works.
So this is integration with the Gnosis platform that Martin just talked about.
Ah, here we go. So basically what you see here on the phone, it's a very simple iPhone app. You download it, and it's very, like, it generates automatically the private key. It automatically generates the smart contracts Christian just mentioned. And what we wanted to show you now is an interaction. Like, what's the usability for you if you use this? So let me see whether it works. So what you see is, this is just the profile app. you scan the QR code on the app. So there's nothing installed on this browser. You just go to the app, to the Gnosis page in this case. You see the identifier. It's the same you have here. You should see a balance. It's a little bit small maybe. Which is the same address, and you see your past transactions. So the login process is very simple. We just hand over the identifier. Well, now what we want to show you is signing a transaction. So we go and purchase some shares. Doing so, we just enter the amount and whatever we want to do. And after we confirm this, it will generate a QR code again. That's at the moment, that's the MVP state. We have some other ideas how we can make this more user-friendly. But what we do now, we scan the Ethereum call, and you will see now automatically it will recognize it's a buy shares activity. And now to use it and sign it needs the private key. So it asks for the biometrics. And what it does now, it sends it to Infura to relay the message, and we send back this transaction hash to the application, so it can immediately react. So it's not like waiting for 15 seconds. You see the hash here as that, hey, something has happened, but it's still processing it. So because it needs to mine for the next block, and once the block is mined, the shares have been bought. So that's kind of what we think is a much nicer interaction with a smart contract. We use already the 4-byte directory and ERC-67, so this is already happening. So let me see whether I can go back.
So thanks to Piper Merriam.
So we have not enough time today, so we just briefly, this is how it looks if you do it on a mobile. So it works already today. So you can open our test app. In the moment when you say connect, it opens up, instead of the QR code, it just says, it jumps to the app, you say authorize, and it jumps back to the application, and you are identified with your address. It's pretty simple, same works with signing a contract. So it's kind of neat. Our social recovery, which Christian mentioned, so the controller and what we have built for now is just a start. The idea is here, you have a contact list of your friends, and you just pick, in this case, three individuals, you say, this is my recovery key, it will set up basically like a multi-sig, but the user doesn't even know that is involved. We keep it really, really simple. The flow, how it looks like, and I need to jump now a little bit faster, you click, instead of creating a new UPort identity, you say recover, you will generate a new key, it will show this is now your new one, it will use this connecting to other, to your friends, they need to scan this and say, oh, this is this person. They send a transaction to the controller to enable and unlock you and reconnect you back to the identity you have before. That's the persistent identifier, which we think is really, really important.
I think we need to skip.
Yeah, okay. So just briefly, running out of time. So we have a lot of more ideas, like how we can use different keys of different levels to integrate hardware wallets to make this much more. I think we have a robust foundation, but there's a lot of things we want to talk about. Come find us later, we can talk about some of the vision elements. Christian needs to tell you now how you can use it.
Yeah, so this is the, as a developer, how do you integrate with UPort? So we have open source libraries. You write your app using a standard Web3 paradigm, as Fabian talked about. We have a UPort Web3 provider that you can just drop in. When you do the get accounts, it will trigger the UPort Connect feature, the scanning a QR code. The send transaction or doing a contract call will will trigger the transaction signing flow. It will, by default, it will take care of generating all the QR codes and stuff like that, but you can also customize it if you want more specific integration. So, thanks. You can find our libraries, open source libraries, on GitHub. We have a white paper on our website, uport.me. And if you want to have a taste of the app, you can go to uport.me/devbeta for the iOS app. Our Android app is coming soon. You can email us at android@uport.me to hear more news about that.
Great. Thank you very much, Christian and Reuven.